Well, it's so exciting to see you all this morning. You all looking so good? Amen. We have an amen in the house for the looking good. Now, as you may imagine, I'm actually on a double duty this morning. I'm leading the worship and preaching. How about that? Now, that's some next level stuff. You know, I usually do this on our youth services. You know, we don't have greatest band or... I mean, we're doing pretty good, but I've had to lead worship and preach, and it was okay, but today I'm going to be doing it twice, so that's going to be a little challenge for me to keep my zeal going. But you know what? I'm young. I'm only 30. Any 30-year-olds in the house? 30-year-old. Oh, man. We got some 30-year-olds right there. Wow. You know, when you... You're 30 in the Lord? Is that what you're saying? Okay. That's awesome. Well, this morning, Pastor Kenny's away. And I can just dress the way I want to dress. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. I gotta keep you going a little bit. You know, as you may imagine, we were in New York last week. And this is what New York does to you. It makes you look younger. It makes you look hip. So people walked in this morning, they're like, oh, you look like you went to New York. I said, yeah, I know. Well, we actually went, when we went for the conference, we talked about it last Sunday a little bit. But Hillsong was just an amazing church, and what they're doing in the city is amazing. And all their pastors are wearing these long shirts and cutout jeans and all that stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, is this like the next level, next pastor thing? Or what's going on here? So I was confused a little bit, but then I figured they're all wearing the same thing. And they all keep having ripped jeans. And now, first I thought, you know, they're just pastors. They don't have enough money to buy the real clothes. But then I figured, you know what? That clothes is more expensive than the normal clothes they were wearing. So my wife and I had to do some shopping. And I'm okay with that, if you know what I mean. And here I am this morning, preaching the word to you. And just to remind you of a few things, I'm really passionate about the lost in our community. And there's a lot of ministers that we have in our church. And one of them was, just to point out, the backpack giveaway and also the movie night we're doing. We're actually doing that movie night as a result of the backpack giveaway. When people come to pick up their backpacks, and what we'll do as a church is we want to play the movie. I mean, movie is not really the goal. Really, the goal is just to be with people and hang out with them and talk with them and engage with them. So I encourage you, if you're not doing anything on August 27th, which is Saturday, please make time to be here, because there's going to be a lot of single moms and a lot of people that are broken that don't have enough money to just get through life. And we can be a blessing to them. Amen. We can be a blessing to them. We can talk to them. We can pray for them. We can just hang out with people that need Jesus. Amen? So we all need Jesus this morning, and I'm here to give you Jesus. And here's the title of my message this morning that I want to leave with you. This is the title of a message, and I'm going to sort of build everything on that. Set yourself above the crowd. Set yourself above the crowd. Now, I'm just too excited. This is out of the verse that I'm going to read to you in a second. But this morning, as I opened up and as Andrea had a little scripture to share, and we just, our whole part was, our whole theme this morning is passion. Being passionate for Jesus, being passionate for what he has called us to accomplish in this lost world. And you know, our life of passion will always make us stand out above the crowd. Your life of passion will always make you stand out above the crowd. See, your passion for Jesus will determine the quality of your Christian life. It will determine the quality of your relationships. It will determine on how you react and act in life. Our passion for Jesus will determine many things. And here's the verse I want to read to you this morning. It's Hebrews 11, the Message translation. This is what it says. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith that we have, the firm foundation under everything, it is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. Amen? It's our handle on what we can't see. And I'm sure you can't see that because it's too little. But the act of faith is what distinguishes our ancestors. It's what distinguished them and what set them above the crowd. It is what took an ordinary person above everybody else. So if you and I want to be someone or something in this life, we have to have faith and we have to have passion for Jesus. Amen? That's what's going to set us above everything else. Now, I know a lot of passionate people in my life, and I'm sure you do as well. And I, when I'm worshiping up here on the stage, I can look in the crowd and I can see who's really passionate. And that's something that I just love, hanging out with passionate people, don't you? Because there's something about when you hang out with passionate people, they just stir you up, and you just want to be with them. You just want to be with someone who's passionate. And I remember when I was younger, one person that I know for sure was passionate before she got sick and she was not well was my mother. And I'm going to show you a picture of my mother. I don't know if you've ever seen my mother. I just sort of thought, this is when she was younger. Doesn't she look like me? Oh, doesn't I look like her? Just a little bit, tiny bit. Now, this was 80s, and I was looking at my mom's clothes, like, from 80s, and it's basically what is trendy now. So, you know what I mean? But yeah, that's my mom, and there's one more picture that I just posted recently. And just recently, it was 2 years since she suddenly just passed away. But before my mom got sick, and many of you know the story, I'm not going to go into that right now, but she was sick. At the end of her life, she was there was mental illness that took over, and she was not herself. She was just, it was just a struggle. But her life was a true example of what a passionate Christian was all about. And I remember my mom, when I was younger, hanging out with my mom, going to places. She was a very dedicated businesswoman. And she would be going out and just talking to people randomly. Just, you know, when she was making business deals, she would go and just, she had a little bag with all these New Testaments in. And I was just kind of like, come on, mom, can you not just make the deal and just forget all the New Testaments? She just could not pass a person without giving them, hanging them a New Testament. Because she believed that there was power in the Word of God, and that could actually change someone's life. So many times, I'll be honest, I was ashamed, sort of ashamed, because she always had to, when we were taking a bus, whether we were taking a bus, when we were going somewhere, she always had to talk to someone about Jesus. And I didn't get it, but she had a gift of evangelism. And she just could not be quiet about what God has done in her life. So for me, it was sort of like, well, at that time, I did not understand it. But now I understand she had a passion for Jesus, and she didn't care about what people thought of her. I remember even vividly right now, we were standing on this bus stop, and she went to talk to this lady. And she gave a New Testament, and she was very receptive to receive the New Testament. And she just moved on to another younger guy, maybe my age right now. And he just kind of brushed her off and called her all kinds of names. And she just turned around, and she smiled. Everything was fine with the world. And she just didn't care about what people thought of her. She just didn't care about what people thought of her. And that's something that when I remember about my mom and the way she lived, this is how I want to live. This is how I want to walk. This is what this passion that she had for Jesus is what I want to have in my heart. I don't want to be ashamed of sharing the truth of God's word with someone that needs it. I don't want to be ashamed of Jesus, of the power that is able to save people from their sin and from their brokenness. I don't want to be ashamed of that. Amen. And it should be clear to anyone who wants to be a Jesus follower that Jesus, God is calling us to live a life of passion. Passion for Him, passion for the lost, passion for the call that He has put on us. And I believe that God has a call and purpose for every single person in this room. God has a call for every person to achieve something great for His kingdom. Amen? That's what we're here. That's why we're here, because we have been set free from our brokenness. We've been set free from what we've been going through. And we have that saving, life-saving grace that we can share with people around us. Amen? You know, too often we take this grace that God, that has been given to us lightly, and we just sometimes we just don't care much about it. But the truth is, it's been given to us for free so that we may give it to others for free. Amen. That's why that's why God has saved us. So serving God, I really believe serving God is always having a passionate commitment for God, His kingdom, for God first, and then for the lost people and lost generation. Amen? Now, I really believe that God is calling our church and all the churches all over the world to this another level of passion. Jesus wants us to stand out. He doesn't want us to be just a part of the crowd, just like everybody else. He wants us to rise above the crowd. He wants us to be different. He wants us to be passionate, because passion is what drives people. Passion is what, when people look at us, when you're passionate about something, people look at you and they say, well, I want what he's got. I want what she has. So the question is, where does your passion lay? Do you feel like you've lost your passion for Jesus? Do you feel like you've lost your passion for the lost? Do you feel like you've lost your passion for the kingdom? Do you feel like you've lost the passion for the call that God has for you? And we can be going to church and we can be doing the church thing, we can be doing the Christian thing, but we can forget the goal of our Christian life. And if you look at the world is driven by passion. Everything from arts to music to whatever you see out there, the athletes you watch, if you're watching the Olympics, you know, these athletes are driven by passion. They want to accomplish something great. So they have this passion to become something, to do something. So they train. They don't give up. They just keep going, keep moving forward. Passion is what drives everything. Without passion, love becomes boring. It becomes a routine. It becomes dull. Jesus wants us to live passionate lives. Amen? He wants us to live a life of passion. One day a man walked up to Jesus and he said, Lord, what is the most important thing? What is the one thing that you can leave with me right now? And if you remember my message about a few months ago, God said, you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And then love everybody else. So in another translation, the message, this is what the translation of this, I love this, is Mark 11:30. It says, Jesus says, you need to love the Lord your God with all your passion, with all your prayer and all your intelligence, all your energy. We need to circle that word passion, because that's what should drive in a Greek language. The word passion is the word that's used for heart. We need to start putting heart into our relationship with Jesus. Amen? We need to start putting heart in our relationship with other people as well. Too many times we spend time with people and we just spend time with them. We don't put heart in our relationships. God wants your heart. He wants our passion. He wants us to put some muscle in it, some energy, some emotion. In fact, I believe that all throughout the Bible, God is calling his people to seek him passionately, to love him passionately. Amen? In Colossians 3:23, which was the verse of the day, by the way, today on a Bible app, if you have that on your phone, whatever you do, do it with all your heart, do it with all your passion, as unto the Lord. Well, it's not really cool to be passionate about God. It's not really politically correct to be so passionate about Jesus. You see, I don't understand, and maybe you can help me understand. People can be passionate about many things, and you can go on Google, and you can go on Amazon, or whatever, if you ever use Amazon, if you just start typing in passion for, and there's going to be millions of books that talk about passion for sports, passion for golfing, passion for crafts, passion for this, passion for that, passion. There's even books about passion for God. And it seems like it's not cool to be passionate about God. When we're passionate about Jesus, people look at us like we're crazy. They look at us and they say, well, something is wrong with this person. They're too passionate about Jesus. I can tell you, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with coming to church and being passionate about Jesus and actually expressing it, maybe raising your hands while you worship. You know, there's nothing wrong with expressing the passion or what Jesus has done in your life. There's nothing wrong with that. There's actually power when we express passion and when we talk about what God has done in our life. I was just at last Sunday, if you remember, or two Sundays ago, I was telling you about going to this tennis match. I love tennis. I love tennis because it's not like baseball. It's not like boring like baseball. There's actually the ball is moving, and the ball is moving fast. You know what I mean? Sorry for all the baseball fans, Blue Jays and all that stuff, Yankees. You know, when you're sitting in a tennis match, this is how your head goes. Okay? Because the ball is just flying 200 kilometers per hour, and it's crazy, and it's so interesting to watch. And I was so passionate when Djokovic got the point. I was so excited. And actually, my father-in-law came with me. Man, I've never seen that guy more passionate in his life. He was just all over. He was just yelling and screaming. And you know, when you're on the match, especially tennis match, when somebody's trying to serve, you got to be quiet. If you're not quiet, you're crazy. So I think it was once that we interrupted the serve because we just had to scream it out. Yeah, do it. Go for it, you know. And I was thinking to myself afterwards, you know, what is it that ignites us? What excites us? You know, for some of us, it could be the sports. And you love going to a game and you're just passionate about that team. You want them to win so bad. And you just don't care what people think when you yell, right? Go Blue Jays! I'll wake you up this morning. There's, you know, what are you passionate about? Jesus wants our passion. Jesus wants our heart. He wants you to show your passion for Him first. Because that's where everything else falls into place. Don't be afraid to be passionate about Jesus. I want to talk to you about a person from the Bible that to me, when I was thinking about this message about passion, it was really, there's a lot of people that stand out in the Bible, but this one person was just so passionate about the call that God has put on his life that he just did not let go. And let's just read this, 2 Kings 2, 1-14, the message about Elisha and Elijah. So 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 14, this is what it says. Just before God took Elijah to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on a walk out of Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. God has sent me to an errand to Bethel. But Elisha said, not on your life. I'm not letting you out of my sight. So they both went to Bethel. And then the guild of prophets of Bethel met Elisha and said, well, did you know that God is going to take your master away from you today? Yes, he said, I know it, but keep it quiet. In other words, shut up. Then Elijah and Elisha, they stayed here. God said, you know, Elijah told him, you know, God is sending me to Jericho. Stay here. And Elisha said, not on your life. I'm not letting you out of my sight. So they both went to Jericho, to Jordan. Jericho, and then there was a Jordan. And then meanwhile, three times this happened. Elisha said, not on your life. I'm not letting you out of my sight. Meanwhile, 50 men from the guild of prophets gathered some distance away with the two of them. They were standing under Jordan. And Elijah took his cloak, he rolled it up, and hit the water with it. The river divided, and the two men walked through the dry land. When they reached the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, what can I do for you before I'm taken away? Ask anything. And Elisha said, your life repeated in my life. I want to be a holy man just like you. Another translation says, I want a double portion of your anointing. That's a hard one, said Elijah. But if you're watching when I'm taken from you, you'll get what you asked for. But only if you're watching. And so it happened. They were walking along and talking, and suddenly a chariot and horses of fire came between them, and Elijah went up in a whirlwind to heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he shouted, my father, you, the chariot and cavalry of Israel. When he could no longer see anything, he grabbed his robe. He ripped it to pieces. Then he picked up Elijah's cloak, his robe that had fallen on him. He returned to the shore of Jordan and stood there. He took Elijah's cloak and what was left of Elijah, and he hit the river with a saying, now, where is the God of Elijah? Where is he? When he struck the water, the river divided, and Elisha walked through the river. Just before I share three truths that spoke to me from this text, sort of just to illustrate this, this is what has been happening. There was a lot of prophets in the Old Testament, and those were the people that were leading, they were pointing to God. People that were sort of like church people nowadays, people that were always just pointing to Jesus. People that were always pointing to, Jesus is going to come, you got to be ready, and they were prophesying. So people look up to them, and if you read through the Old Testament, you see there was a lot of prophets. Just here it's saying there was 50, 3 times 50, that would be 150 prophets that were sort of like trying to discourage Elisha about Elijah's future. But Elisha was a special person. And if you can see what set him above all every other prophet in Israel was his passion for the calling that God has put on his heart. And this is how the story goes. Elijah came to Elisha while he was working in the field. He put his robe around him, which meant that he was his successor. And then ever since then, Elisha left everything, all of his work, all of his, whatever he had going in his life to follow Elijah step by step. Because Elijah was one of the biggest prophets, just saying he was one of the biggest things that happened before Jesus. He was the true picture of Jesus, because what Elijah did is what Jesus was doing. Elijah actually raised people from dead. He actually did some things that only, or some miracles that only Jesus did repeated in the New Testament. So Elisha was so passionate that there was about 20 years that he was following Elijah step by step. And he was not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible except here towards the end of Elijah's ministry, where he realized, you know what, I'm not letting go of this. I'm going to be passionate about this. And here's three things I've learned from Elisha's life about living a life of passion for Jesus and the call that he has on us. Number one, we need to be intentional. We need to live with purpose. There's three points there. That's good. Let's just focus on this first one. We need to be intentional. We need to live with purpose. See, passion and purpose go together. Amen? It's passion. When you have a clear purpose in life, it's going to give you a lot of passion. And what is our purpose in life? I'm going to say it again. Our purpose in life is to love God passionately with all of our hearts, all of our soul, and our minds, and to love people. That's our purpose in life. It's to draw people close to God through just doing that. So the greatest message of hope that we will ever hear is that all of us sitting in this room have a purpose. Amen? All of us sitting in this room have a call. Amen? Every single one of us. You may say, well, not me. You, David, you're the pastor. I really believe that God, the church of Christ, is not going to grow through paid ministers, even though that's sort of like a term that we have here, that people that are serving and it's sort of like our job and we have to be paid and all that stuff. But I really believe that Church of Christ will be built by passionate people and believers, just like you sitting in this room, that are passionate about the gospel and about the lost. That's how the church is going to be built, through you. God has saved us, and he wants to accomplish great things through us. Amen? He wants to accomplish great things to you. So we need to be intentional about our faith, because we have purpose. We have purpose, amen? You and I have a purpose. And sometimes God asks people to step out in faith, whether they're small steps or big steps. But the purpose is always to glorify God's name. See, Elisha, he knew what his purpose was. He knew what his purpose was, what was his destiny. And he knew that he was different. He knew that he wasn't like every other prophet in Israel. He knew that there was something great coming for him. There was this anointing that was in store for him, but he needed to follow through. He needed to be passionate. He needed to go to the very end. So when you live a life of purpose and when you focus like Elisha was, you can and you will accomplish great things for God. Amen? You can and you will accomplish great things for God when you're passionate about Jesus. To be dedicated to our calling and our ministry, we need to be engaged. We need to be passionate about Jesus. We need to put our time, we need to put energy into our relationship with God. It's what's going to get us to the next level. It's what's going to set us above the crowd. Amen? Number two, we need to refuse to be distracted. If you look at Elisha's life and Elijah's life, see, God was calling him to a mission. And he was planning to fulfill this mission passionately. There was not a moment that he let go. And I really believe that every follower of Jesus has a mission. We all have a mission. You must ask yourself a question this morning. What is the mission that God is calling me to do? What is the mission that God is calling you to do? What is that mission? And when you ask that question, you need to ask yourself another question. What is distracting you from that mission? What's getting in the way? Is it people? And two things here, the point that stood out to me, it was people can often distract us from being passionate about our calling. Don't let anyone say anything to distract you from what God has called you to do. And you know what? I've learned that a lot of times people will come into our life with good intentions. With good intentions, distracting us away from what we're supposed to accomplish for Jesus. So don't let people, and these people that were distracting Elisha were Christians. They were not like some unbelievers. Oh, you're stupid, you're crazy, your faith doesn't count, you don't believe in that stuff. They were Christians, they were prophets, they were saying, they were trying to discourage him, and they were trying and telling him, you know what? Elijah's gonna be gone soon. You know that, right? Shut up. Now, we shouldn't be rude to other Christians. We should never be rude. But we should never let anybody put us down and discourage us from the calling that God has put in our heart. Amen? Don't let discouragement of people. You know, sometimes we'll be disappointed about something, whether it's disappointments, whether it's something we're going through in life, and sometimes there's pain. And yes, we go through pain. We go through pain, but we need to realize that this pain is there for a purpose to make us better, not bitter, number one. And this pain there is something that God wants to use. I'm going to use this again for Wednesday. God wants to use our pain not to be our prison, but to be our platform. Not to be our prison, but to be our platform. A pain that we can use to share the truth of Jesus, who Jesus is, with the lost and broken world. Amen? So that's what God wants. He wants you to use your pain. He wants to use your situation, whatever it is, to glorify His name. Amen? That's what He wants. And number two is being too busy to take time for the actual spiritual renewal. You know, busyness is a problem of our culture. We get busy with so many things in life that we don't have to be busy about. You don't have to. There's some things in our life that we just do because it's just a habit. But you don't have to be. Don't be too busy for God. God is waiting on the sidelines. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to spend time with him. He wants us to be in his word. He wants us to walk with him daily, to let him speak to us, to let him lead us, to let him guide us, to let him strengthen us. If there's anything that we learn from Jesus' life while he was on this planet Earth, is that he always took time to spiritually renew himself in the presence of God himself. He always took time to pray. He always took time to look up and say, though I'm human, I have strength because you give me strength. Amen? So don't be distracted. It's easy to get distracted from the calling that God has put in our heart, in our life. And number three is we need to have faith because he will deliver his promise. God has promised great things for you and me. God has great things in store for you and me, for everybody in this room. But what we need to do is we need to have faith. And like I read this verse in the very beginning, is faith is what set them above the crowd. Faith is what set Abraham above the crowd, Moses, Elisha, everybody, all the great men of God. It is their faith, their passion for Jesus, for God. Amen? So I really believe it's impossible to accomplish anything great for God without this passion. We want this. When people look at us from the outside, they don't even know that we're church people, but I want, when they look at us, I want them to want what we have because of the passion that we have in our heart. Amen? Because of the passion that lives in us, passion that breathes in us. And even though when we go through tough times, they can look at us and they can say, wow, look at this guy. He's struggling. He's going through this and he's going through whatever he may be going through, whether it's a loss of job or some sort of relationship issue. But look at his faith. Look at his passion. I want that. I want that passion that he has. I want the passion that she has. Because that's what sets us above the crowd. That's what makes us great. Passion for Jesus. Amen? We need to be focused like Elijah was. This microphone is giving up on me. We need to be focused like Elisha was. He was focused. He was going after this. He was not going to let go. And he knew the great things were in store for him. Great things are in store if he follows through. And this is what happened next. If we just read this. You know, he was just a follower of Elijah. And he was just the one who was, you know, Elijah was doing all these miracles. And I can just see Elisha, if he was in our time today. He was tweeting and Instagramming about every single event that happened, Facebooking every amazing miracle that happened. He was just, you know, chatting, live chat, sending everybody out, telling everybody what's happening. And he was just there looking at what God was doing to Elijah. But he wanted that so bad that he didn't want to let go. He did not want to let go because he knew that he was called. And if we go a few passages after, Elisha's ministry, the Bible tells us, was twice as greater than Elijah's ministry. He did twice as more miracles than Elijah did. He was the only person before Jesus that we have in the record in the Bible that did miracles that were just out of this world. Raise people from the dead. He was actually, Elisha was dead. There was a miracle when Elisha died and his bones touched a dead person and that person was alive. That's how powerful his life was in his ministry. You see, that anointing that Elisha had in the Old Testament that he was wanting so bad is the same kind of anointing that you and I have and possess this morning. Amen? It is the same anointing. It is the same power that they had in the Old Testament, the prophets. The same power lays on us. The moment we accept Jesus as our Savior, the moment we confess that Jesus is Lord, His Spirit is imparted in us. And His Spirit lives in us. And His Spirit strengthens us. His spirit gives us it just gives us new zeal. It gives us new energy. It's so much more easier to go through this life with His Spirit and God right beside us. So I want to encourage you. Where along the way have you lost your passion for Jesus or the call that He has put on your heart? If you have. Sometimes when we pray, God wants us to pray with passion. I know some people in this church, when they pray, the mountains shake. The mountains literally shake. Spiritual mountains shake and they're broken down because of the power, the prayer that some of the people in the church have. God wants us to pray. He doesn't want us just, you know, the Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Pray, bless this. Amen. He wants us to pray like this. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name that every mountain would be broken. We pray in Jesus' name that every situation that we may be going through would be solved because Jesus is our Lord. He wants us to pray with passion. Amen. Don't be just like everybody else. Put some passion into it. Put some passion into your relationships. You know what? I have to mention this because my wife just mentioned this yesterday. She said, and she mentions this a lot, I need you to pursue me. And I'm sure a lot of you men have heard that from your women. Maybe not. If you haven't, you're doing pretty good. But what is the pursuit all about? When you really think about it, pursuit is having passion. Having like this zeal. Put some energy into it. Put some thought into it. Recharge the batteries. Do whatever you need to do. You know, I really believe that whether it's our relationships, if you want your marriage to be great, you need to put some passion in it. If you want your children to turn out great, you need to put some passion into them. You need to love them passionately. You need to forgive them passionately. If you want anything, whether it's a calling or ministry in your life to be great, you need to put your heart in it. You need to put your passion in it because that's what passion, it makes you stand out above the crowd. I'm not sure if you can see the passion when we're up on the stage. That's our prayer that when we worship, that we worship passionately. Passion is what God is looking from us, from His people. He wants us to be people of passion. And even when you're down, when you wake up and you're down, you can say, Jesus, today I can do it because You live in me and Your power lives in me. And I can do greater things because You are the one that will give me power and strength. Amen. Why don't we just all stand? And I just want to pray with you, pray for you. And remember this, your life of passion and faith will always set you above the crowd. Don't be like everybody else. Set yourself above. Be passionate about your relationship for God. Be passionate about your relationship with other people. Be passionate about the call that God has put in your heart. Don't let anything get in the way. If you want to be included in this prayer, why don't we just all raise your hand if you want to be included. I want to pray for you. Father God, we want to be the people of passion, the people of faith. We want to be the ones when we pray that the mountains fall down. We want to be the ones when we walk that everything is shaking. Jesus, Father God, make us the people of passion. Help us, Father God, infuse the new passion in us for You and Your name, Jesus. We do not want to be like everybody else. We want to be above the crowd. We want to be different. We want to walk in Your love. We want to talk in Your love. Father God, help us to be just like You, Jesus. Help us to be like You. We need more of Your passion in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. And help us, God, to daily just love You with all of our passion. All of our heart, all of our energy, God. When we look back, Jesus Christ, we want to be known for the life of passion that we lived. life of passion for you in your name, Jesus. I pray that you will bless every single person in this room. I pray that you would encourage every single person in this room, God. I pray that you would infuse passion in every single heart in this room. Father, bless every relationship. Bless every home. Bless every child. Bless every marriage, God. May your passion breathe through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. And I just want to close with this before you're gone. The only thing I remember my mom for is her passion for Jesus. There were so many bad things that I could remember, but those things don't even matter. It is the passion that she had for Jesus that really stayed for me and will always stay for me. And I just, before I go, Daniela and her mother just passed away. Daniela, we love you. I just remember last time I spoke here, she was so passionate. She came to me. She said that was the best word I've heard in a while. Even though she was struggling, man, that woman had passion for Jesus. Didn't she? I remember us carrying her into the pool. She couldn't get in the pool by herself, and she was just passionate. God, help us to have that passion. We pray for Daniela. We pray for her family. God, let's just all stretch our hand and pray for the family. God, I pray that you would reveal your glory in that home. I know, God, there's people in that home that need to know you. Father, I pray they would use this as a testimony of who you are, Jesus. Father, heal the brokenhearted. Give them peace. And I pray, Father, that I know that she's in heaven, rejoicing with you in heaven right now. Father God, may we be remembered just like her mom for the passion and zeal of you, Jesus. Always and forever. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Go and give her a hug. I'm sure she needs one.